This series of 12 days of podcasts with bsquared.me have been made possible thanks to the good guys over at MailChimp. MailChimp helps you design and send email newsletters, integrate with services you already use, and track your results. It's so easy, a monkey could do it. Learn more at MailChimp.com. Okay, joining us today, we've got Zach Inglis, who's a designer and programmer based here in Cardiff. Hi, Zach, how are you?
Hi, Craig. I'm all right, thank you.
Good. And how's your Christmas been?
Eventful. I've generally been sick, but there's
so much of that going around at the moment. Everybody seems to be being sick. It's not good.
I made the best of it. I'm doing well.
Good stuff. Well, I think I'll just jump straight in and just ask with sort of the first question, which is, how long have you been in the industry, within the web industry?
I sort of say 13 years. I started working, learning the discipline about 13 or 14 years ago, and I started doing very, very small paying jobs about then too. So
yeah, so traditionally trained in computer science or sort of design related?
No, subject? Actually, I wasn't enjoying school, and so I dropped out of and started just doing this because I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think I'm assuming you're around about my age. I think most people around our age have sort of discovered the web on our own terms and just sort of taught ourselves. Whereas now we're getting a younger generation who's obviously gone through sort of mainstream education where these subjects are being taught, which is alien at the time to us.
Well, I went to college for about 2 months where they tried to teach me web design in Microsoft Word. And I already knew better, so I dropped out again.
In Word, that's not even front page. Actually,
no,
in Word,
it was impressive.
Great. So how did you get those first paid jobs then?
I used to belong to a forum that was. And I partnered with a friend, and we used to sell templates on there.
Right. Okay, like sort of like CMS templates, or were they just
yeah, for VBulletin, if you remember, I think it's still going.
Right. Oh, interesting. So it was sort of paid work, but work that you're doing almost for the industry. Then it wasn't sort of a client work as such.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Okay. So I'm just looking at your bio here, and you haven't really pigeonholed yourself as a designer or a developer. So in an age where most sort of web designers do code as well, how important do you think that is, that especially for smaller agencies, that they have staff who are well versed in both disciplines?
I generally think people should know a little of all if they can. It's helpful, and it facilitates communication better between the team. Yeah. But I'm not a hardcore, you need to know everything. You just know what you know and be good at it is generally my...
Yes, yeah. So how did you get your first job within an agency or for a company? I mean, I'm just looking through some of your people you've worked with in the past, with HashRocket and Mark Bolton Design and now your own business, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. So how did you make those first steps into sort of commercial work?
Well, I didn't get into agency work until quite a while into my career. I'd been freelance for most of my career. I think I was at HashRocket for about 9 months and Mark Bolton for about 11.
Right.
I don't generally... I worked with those companies because I respect them a lot, and I still do. And I prefer to do it on my own. So... But when I got the chance at HashRocket and Mark Bolton Design, I jumped into it because it was... because of who it is and what they are.
Yes, yeah, and obviously they get great clients as well.
Yes, so it's definitely
a great chance to work on some really great work. So I suppose when you say you like to do things by yourself, I suppose it's a case of necessity. Then you are a designer and you are a developer. You're having to bring in both disciplines to work on any job that you get anyway.
Yes, I mean I basically, when I say I prefer to work for myself, what I mean by that is I prefer to have a proper say in how the project's managed. Because I'm a designer and developer, I know if I'm going to design something, why the developer will hate me. So I tend to like to be able to run interference and so on within projects, and that's best done by being by running the project.
Yes, yeah. I'm just wondering actually how you've managed to land on these shores here in Cardiff.
Came to Wales for Mark Walton Design, and my girlfriend said that she went to Cardiff Uni and she loved it, and I grew up not without much knowledge of Cardiff.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got here, I saw the scenery and I saw the city and the people were really decent, and I was like, I'm moving here. So
good. So tell us about your sort of day-to-day routine. You're now working for yourself,
yeah,
with Superhero Studios.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult decision to make, leaving an agency where you get a salaried work to something,
yeah,
where you need to sort of fend for yourself and you need to get out there and get your own work in?
It does. I mean, it was easier because I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
It was a hard decision because Mark Bond Design is a fantastic company. Really awesome people and great clients. And I think, you know, the big thing for me was I've almost become accustomed, and this is how I live, this is how I work. Okay. I was missing work for myself too, which I was sick at the time, which sort of forced me into the decision, the control.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about your involvement with Rails Rumble. Or first of all, tell the people who maybe don't know what Rails Rumble is. Tell them what that is.
So Rails Rumble was started quite a few years ago by my friend Nick Plant, and he his idea was to build a hackathon for Rails developers to show them how easy it was and to bring the community together.
Yeah.
And it's a 48-hour challenge over a weekend where you get into teams of up to four. And this year we had, I think we had 500 teams. I should probably...
500?
I should probably check. Mainly it'd be developers, and this year and last year I pushed for more design involvement, because I feel like some designers may not realize how easy Rails is to build an app in Rails, and you can just throw something out there quickly and see if it floats.
Yeah.
Which I know you have experience with. and I think that's the thing. I think that if we can get people together and building apps for over 2 days, they can realize perhaps they do that for something commercial in the future over 2 days again or longer. And the idea is to educate people how easy it is, who they can go to if they want to build something with, and just to have fun while doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And does that take the form of competition? Is there prizes involved in that?
There's a lot of prizes actually this year. There's an incredible amount. There's prizes for the top 10 teams, and then there's other awards like the best solo team,
right?
And so on.
Okay, cool. And is that an annual event? Will that be happening again?
It's
the foreseeable.
It is annual, but it's not to a date. I mean, we missed last year's. And then we wrapped it up this year, but it's definitely happen next year. It's a lot of work. We all do it for free, and it takes up at least a month of all of our times, I think.
Yeah. Well, again, in this whole series of podcasts, everybody that I speak to, everybody seems to be doing a lot of work for the community, which you don't get in other industries as such. But I think that's just such a fantastic thing about this. Community is that everybody's more than happy to pitch in and help each other. Now, I know you do a lot of that via Twitter, helping people out. You've certainly helped me out a number of times. How important do you think Twitter is to our industry?
Very. I mean, I think it's over my 13 years, I've helped people out a lot, and I've had help from other people plenty, and I think it's a great way of facilitating that. I think that there's far more of a community feel now Twitter's available to everyone.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know. I think Twitter is a vital tool, and I'm very much pro-Twitter, even with all their current
snark.
Yes, I mean, yes, thank you. No, I think that it's Twitter is a, I find, a vital tool to me. I think that it helps me get seen. It helps me show other people. I mean, that's one thing I love about Twitter, is the fact that I've got a few followers, so I can sit there and I can retweet people who wouldn't necessarily get seen. And that's, whereas I don't think enough people, I want to help other people get seen more, because I know that people put a lot of effort into things and sometimes they don't get seen. And I think Twitter is a great tool for me to help do that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So yeah. Yeah. I think one of the problems with Twitter really is that it's, you know, it's short. You've got 140 characters, mm-hmm. and to put something across within context can sometimes, you know, people can make of it something else, you know, that yeah. happens a lot. And mm-hmm. that's happened again today. There's been this whole hoo-ha about women speaking at conferences and so on.
I missed that one. That's the first one I've missed in a long while.
But I gather you're working on something which may help in this situation.
I'm not sure it'll help for this specific one, but yes, I'm creating a tool, Crit.io, which the idea behind it is to get good critique on design and feedback, and get good feedback, and I'm hoping that will help facilitate people thinking about critique more, because I think on Twitter you can say, oh, I don't like this, but it doesn't always come across the way you meant.
Yeah.
And I think you said it, you know, Twitter is short, and you can't, I've been misunderstood plenty of times, and I've misunderstood other people plenty of times. It's very easy to do. Yeah. I don't blame anyone for actually doing it, because it's, if we all spoke in 140 characters, people generally not understand us in real life, and it's a struggle to contain our thoughts, our vast thoughts, into something so small.
Yeah, yeah, and it can come across very blunt at times as well.
Yes,
it?
Exactly.
So it's crit.io.
Yeah.
So where are you at the moment in the development process with that? Can people sign up? Can people?
You can sign up for the mailing list. I'm hoping to launch an alpha next weekend. Actually, no, I'm going to launch an alpha next weekend. come hell or high water, we're launching an alpha.
I'm
next
sure
weekend.
I heard that about 3 weeks ago. But
you heard that 3 weeks ago, probably 4 weeks ago, and so on. It's it's myself and another developer, and we're very almost there. The last 5 to 10% is always the highest.
Yeah, yeah. And who is the sort of intended audience for Crit?
Well, I'm gonna probably get on the alpha people who are experienced at critique. I'm actually hoping more so people who are new to the industry, or people who are not necessarily the best designers, get on board more so. Because I'm hoping that it's going to help facilitate and push people in the right direction that they want to be in.
Yeah.
The whenever I do a design, I'll email a couple of chosen people and say, is this good? Can you just rip it apart? Tell me what's wrong with it. And those people generally know that I don't necessarily need to be pandered to. They don't need to tell me, oh, I love this. I don't want to know that. I want to know what you hate, because I want to change it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when, you know, with proper reasoning, of course, not just you dislike blue.
Yeah.
tell me you don't think it works for the clients or so on. And I think I want to, one of the benefits of working in an agency is having people around you where you can throw your work up on the wall. And we did this at Mark Bolton Design. We threw our work up on the wall and everyone was like, well, this is, I don't agree with this, why have you done with this, and so on. And I think that everyone deserves that, whether they're in an agency or out of an agency.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me a little bit maybe like Dribbble, but whereas Dribbble, you've got this one sort of static image. This is for a complete site, a complete web app, or wherever it may be, and people can comment on that. Is that sort of a fair statement, do you think?
Dribbble, I love Dribbble, and that's one thing I've always tried to make sure people understand while I'm building Crit. I think Dribbble has a place.
Yeah.
But Dribbble is more about the finalized product, and whereas I see Crit being getting to that stage.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's a work in progress, and people can leave their feedback. Yeah, that sounds great.
Exactly. I've tried to give critique on Dribbble before, and it either falls on deaf ears or people get offended. And I think that's because the community's not set up for that, because it's built itself in the way it's built itself, and I'm hoping that I'm going to set up a place where people feel safe to give suggestions, whether it's someone new to the industry or not. I want them to be able to suggest to anybody that they think this should be different.
Yeah, and I think there's an expectation then as well, isn't there? If you put your work up there, it's mm-hmm. going to be critiqued. Whereas exactly. maybe on Dribbble, you're hoping to get likes and for people to, you know, to tell their friends about it. Yes,
exactly. Dribbble's for getting work and so on, and this is something. This is for bettering your work, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Great. So you say by next weekend we should hopefully have an alpha.
Yes. There's going to be a small amount of people just to see how they use it and see if it's going in the right direction, I think.
Yes, yeah. That's great. And, you know, it's great to hear people actually making products that are going to be used by our industry as well. And that seems to be a something that's been serviced very well over the last year or so. A lot of people seem to be making products for our own industry, which is great.
Yeah, I've always done it some way or another. Because of my programming, I've got open source projects out there. And when I started out, we did themes for forums,
yeah,
for people to use. And I like giving back to the industry because I really believe in it. I think it's a really awesome industry to work in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. Well, we're at the end of 2012. Christmas has gone. we're looking forward to 2013. Yeah. Now, this is the same question that I've asked everybody during this series of podcasts. Is it? I could give you one wish to work with one client or on one product. So this is your dream gig.
Yeah.
What would that be? If I can click my fingers and it happens, what would that be?
I think it would be Disney.com.
Right. Right. Interesting. Okay.
Disney. So I've never been to Disneyland or Disney World, but my girlfriend raves on about it.
Yeah.
And every single thing within the park, for example, the user experience has been thought about, and it's been looked after, and it's a user experience haven almost, and I think it's probably the most fun brand I can think of, and I think when you've got that much fun behind you, you can just create something. You can create something really spectacular. I wasn't a fan of the latest one. I felt that it was. It didn't encompass the brand. I think the brand is definitely one of my favorite brands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly could be fun. I know the Muppets have recently had a redesign of their mm-hmm. site, and that's a great fun site as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's plenty that could be done with the Disney brand, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So what's in store for 2013? What's sort of on your radar over the next few months?
Getting Chris out, and then I should probably do some paying work again, because that's always the scary prospect of doing your own thing.
Yeah. Is there a commercial angle to Crit at all? Is there any way of generating a revenue?
Honestly, I'm trying not to think about that yet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the core experience right, but I think there's going to be pro accounts.
Right. Okay, cool.
And I'm hoping the community will back that. And if they don't, then it's not necessarily what they want. And that's therefore that I know that I'm, you know, I know where to focus.
Yeah, yeah. It's so difficult at the moment, I think, because everybody's used to this app store culture of everything being, you know, less than a pound almost. Mm-hmm. and, you know, we all use these tools daily and they offer great value to us. But I think that the perception of value has maybe changed a bit, maybe skewed a bit now.
Yeah,
Good example. I mean, I've talked about this beforehand. Is Tweetbot when that launched for Mac?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was $12.99. I think.
Yeah.
Which, you know, apps in the App Store are not $12.99.
No.
And people had this mentality of it's $12.99. It needs to change my life, which is crazy. You know, crazy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think it's one of those things coming from pre-App Store. Everything was, you know, hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
And now our mentality has completely shifted in the opposite direction, where, you know, it should, if it's a dollar, it's still questioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard. It's because Tweetbot had a different story behind it, and it makes sense why they did it. They did it because they have limited tokens.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at the same time, I've sat there and thought, do I really want to pay $20 for something that's going to change my time and make my time more efficient. And it's silly. I should be yes straight away.
Yeah, yeah. I think the issue is quite often there's maybe a free alternative out there. So I think maybe that's where the value of design comes in.
Yeah.
If something is done better and just looks better, it's worth paying for.
Exactly.
Great stuff. So that's 2013. We've got a crit coming up. We've got a Rails Rumble as well.
I think so. I haven't really talked to them about it. I've just got my my t-shirt yesterday for Rails Rumble, so right. I'm still dealing with last Rails Rumble.
Right. Okay.
I need a break. It was a lot of effort.
Yeah. And I understand you're speaking at a conference early next month.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking at a local host, a small little mini conference. I've always had requests for conferences, and I've always said no. And so yeah. Same podcasts. Because I want to just work. But I'm starting to have opinions about conferences and so on, and so I feel I should try it out more before I so I can have more to talk more more of a knowledgeable opinion.
Right. Okay. Great. What's the conference subject? What will you be talking about?
I think I'm going to be expanding on my design for developers. The fundamentals of design and development are very much the same. They're all problem solving.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not a hard switch to go from development to design or vice versa. But I feel I want there to be more welcoming resources for developers to go through.
Yeah. I mean, there's this old cliche of developers and designers being completely different species. Whereas a developer will sit at home stroking a beard, looking at something for months before it's released, whereas designer will make a swoosh on something, declare that as the best swoosh in the world, and go off and have a latte. You know, that is that old cliche. But the it just comes back time and time again. You do see these people who live these lives. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, yeah. There's people who always play in stereotypes, but I think that we live in an industry that you can self learn, and you can teach yourself anything you want to.
Yeah.
And highly motivated people are in this industry. And if they want to learn development, they'll learn development. If they want to learn design, they'll learn design. I just want to help facilitate that and push people to do it if they want to.
Great stuff. Great. Well, I'm just going to finish with one final question. With regards to resources that you turn to on a daily basis, have you got a set of standard links that you go to on a daily basis to just, you know, find out what's happening within the industry and so on?
That's a good question. Hacker News is always great.
Yeah.
Apart from that, just Twitter. Actually, I sort of let things trickle down.
Yeah, so it's sort of crowdsourcing your news.
Yeah, I don't actually visit that many outside Hacker News. No.
Yeah, and I think I'm the same. Really, I think, you know, a few years ago I used to have these bookmarks which I'd go to on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Twitter's changed that. Now it's almost curated for me. The good stuff will rise to the top and I'll go and visit that, you know.
I check my RSS feeds about 5 times a year, basically.
Right. Right, fair enough. Right then, well, I should leave you to getting back to Crete. And
thank you very much.
I look forward to seeing something very soon.
And no pressure then.
Yes, yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Zach.
Thanks,
and have a great 2013.
You too.
This series of 12 days of podcasts for bsquare.me have been made possible thanks to the good guys over at MailChimp. MailChimp helps you design and send email newsletters, integrate with services you already use, and track your results. It's so easy, a monkey could do it. Learn more at MailChimp.com.